Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in today. Diana Alfuth is back with us from our studios in the Eau Claire area. Diana is a UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Pierce County. So we'll be talking with her about, among other things, bringing those indoor plants that have been outdoors all summer back indoors. There are lots of things we can talk about with her. And I know there's always lots we can talk about with Cheryl Gasser, who joins me in the studio. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning to you. She's here to help me talk about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. So your gift makes a huge difference. Listeners are the biggest source of funding for WPR programs, so I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, last hour we heard from 20 wonderful donors. Thank you so much to everyone who gave last hour. And now this hour, our goal is to get 35 gifts.
35 for the hour. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
Certainly, we appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars. Listener support, though, is still the largest source of funding for our programs. So your contribution of any amount helps, and it really matters. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, the beauty of making a voluntary donation is that you decide how much to give. You make up your mind. WPR is, as Larry said, listener-supported, and that means the more donors we have, the more secure our funding. So how much you give is not as important as the fact that you do give.
And I know many first-time donors give $10 a month. Some give $20 a month. You decide the amount that's right for you. And contributing is your choice, of course. And because WPR is something you value, you'll find that donating feels good. It always feels good to me anyway. So find out right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
What's your favorite Hamilton song?
I think my favorite Hamilton song is My Shot.
For those days when you need to pump yourself up a little bit, I am not throwing away my shot.
Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
This membership drive, pledge any amount for your chance to see the award-winning Broadway musical. The winner receives two tickets, dinner out on the town before the show, and an overnight stay in Chicago. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs, including Garden Talk, going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Don't throw away your shot, your chance to support Wisconsin Public Radio during this membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to WPR, it takes just a few minutes. You tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 35 more people to join in this hour. And when you do, you make Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show and the Ideas Network and WPR possible when you give. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I also think it's cool that your donation enters you in a drawing for tickets to Hamilton and an overnight stay in Chicago. No contribution is necessary, actually. You can just go to WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552. And of course, sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, hey, become one right now. It's so easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And you'll be providing ongoing support for the programs you love, programs like Garden Talk, and you'll be automatically entered into the drawings that we have during our member drives, like the one this time for tickets and dinner in Hamilton.
Yeah, your gift really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Our contributor today for Garden Talk is Diana Alfuth, the UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Pierce County. She comes by every so often to talk with us, and we deal with a whole variety of things when she's on. One of the things we were going to kind of zero in a little bit on today is bringing plants indoors. But if you have other questions, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. And Diana Alfuth, welcome.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good. We're having fun on this drive, and I was looking forward to talking to you because I was looking at Limey, who's sitting outside right now on the second story porch, and I'm wondering, yeah, when am I going to bring Limey indoors?
Oh, yeah, you know, and we all like to spend summer outdoors, and so do our house plants, but we can't deny it any longer. The nights are getting cooler, and the days are getting shorter, and Limey is not native to Wisconsin, so those tropical plants, even though it's not freezing outside or frost yet, they're starting to want to come indoors, but it's best, you know, if you kind of do that a little gradually. So is he sitting out in full sun out on your deck?
Yeah, sun, south-facing deck.
Okay. So the best thing to do with these plants, just like when we harden them off and we put things outside in spring, is to kind of make it a little more gradual so it's not a total shock from all that nice bright light outside to the dark of indoors. So if you can put him in a spot where he gets maybe not quite full days of sun and gradually move him into less and less light over the course of 10 days or so, and then back into the house, that'll help relieve some of the shock that it's going to suffer.
Well, old Limey gets some nice lights when she comes inside, some nice little grow lights, and she seems to like that pretty well.
Okay, so and that's a great thing because that's going to lessen obviously that shock and help Limey to do well over the winter as well, having that extra light. Because in Wisconsin, you know, even though you have sun coming in a window in January, that sun is low level; it's not very intense, and it's for a very short day length time. So that's why the houseplants suffer so much in winter, and they basically go dormant. They just kind of sit there and wait for the days to get longer. But before you bring Limey or any of other plants inside, check them over well for any kind of pests on them. And this year we've had a lot of aphids out there, so look on the stems and undersides of the leaves where the veins are. Look for any little insects that might be there sucking the sap out of the plants, and treat that before you bring them into the house. Depending on what the insect is, it might just mean blasting it with some water, maybe a little soapy water or insecticidal soap. Also, check in the pot in the soil area and see if anything has kind of burrowed in there. So that you don't bring it inside. And specifically, we're looking at things like wasps or beetles or something that's where they would spend the winter. So, and then when you bring things in the house, it's a good idea if you can quarantine it for a little bit. So if you have like a mudroom or a laundry room or something that you can put the plants in and let, you know, the warmth of the indoors take hold so that any of that kind of stuff crawls out. So just as an example, one year I brought in some plants, and later that night I had a little frog hopping across my dining room floor. And it was a stowaway in the plant that had burrowed, you know, down into the soil a little bit, and I didn't see it. But otherwise, you know, the other reason for that is if you still have other house plants in the house, you don't want any pests that are coming in to be able to spread. So if you can put them in a little bit of a quarantine for, you know, at least a few days and see if any kind of outbreak happens or if anything crawls out of it, that's always a good idea.
We have callers online with questions for you, Diana. Let's take some phone calls here. Jim in Pleasant Prairie, we'll go to you first. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Good. Question about compost.
Okay.
So I've got some decomposing wood, you know, a variety of hardwood and maple or pine and stuff like that. And I was wondering if that's something that I should use to make compost with, mixing it with, fallen leaves and cut grass.
Sure. Well, wood makes great compost. It's just that because of the lignins and cellulose in it, it takes longer to decompose. But if you mix it in with other stuff and give it enough time, it's a great component of compost. You might not get it totally when the rest of the compost is ready, there might still be some little wood chunks in there that look kind of, you know, like they're on their way to composting, but that's okay because that holds moisture and it'll continue to decompose once it's worked into the soil or however you use it, if you use it in containers or something. But you just don't normally want to use fresh wood in putting that, like, in a garden or in containers, because that can tie up some of the nitrogen because of the microbes that'll be attacking it and stuff. But wood is great to compost. The smaller you chop it up, the better off you're going to be, because there's more surface area then for those microbes to get at to decompose it. So if you have the ability to, like, run it through a wood chipper or something like that to get it into smaller pieces, then it can be a great component to a compost pile.
Good luck, Jim. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Nancy in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Yes, I have tried several years to winter over a plant. It's a tropical plant that has flowers on it like a Mona Villa does, but it's not. It's got the smoother, smaller oval leaves. It's Dipla something.
Okay. So it's a viney kind of a thing?
Yeah, it grows viney or bushy, and every time I try to bring it in, it loses all its leaves. And then it will live through the winter, but in the spring all I get are these 10-foot long thready vines that never produce any leaves or anything.
Yeah. And that, you know, these tropical plants, some of these things are really, it's difficult to get them to come back. It's kind of like poinsettias after Christmas. We can manipulate them and stuff and get them to bloom again, but they never bloom the same as they did when they were growing in the greenhouse when we first bought them. So the biggest thing is going to be light and temperature. And honestly, I'd have to look up exactly what that particular plant wants, but chances are that it's not getting the right amount of light. Yep. Light is the most limiting factor for plants that we grow indoors, no matter what. And then it's always a combination, too. So low light and warm temperatures is a bad thing. And high light and low temperatures is sometimes good, sometimes not. But it's probably a combination of that causes that problem. You could try cutting that viney thing back to try to get it to leaf out and set buds, but it's kind of hard to say. I'm not exactly sure what the proper manipulation of it would be.
Yeah, I'd probably whack it back and put it on a grow light or something.
Mm-hmm.
That that would probably help. But a lot of plants, when you bring them in, they just all the leaves drop off.
Right. And one of the main reasons they do that, like fig trees are notorious for
yes.
that. And one of the reasons they do that is because of the lower light inside, they'll drop the leaves that grew outside because those leaves are thicker. And then it'll drop all those leaves and it'll sprout new leaves, but those leaves will be thinner. And that's just so that because the light can get into the leaf better and hit that chlorophyll and do the photosynthesis. And then when you move them back outside, well, then those thin leaves are kind of too thin, so it'll drop leaves and it'll grow the thicker ones. And like I said, fig trees are the most dramatic about that, but a lot of plants will do that. So typically the leaves that are growing in lower light conditions are going to be thinner. And when, like I said, the sun, even direct sun in your window in winter in Wisconsin, if you get a light meter and you test your
it's going to be low.
Oh, it's surprisingly low. And part of that, too, is remember that our windows have all kinds of coatings and whatever on them to keep UV rays from fading your couch and carpet and all that sort of thing. So that's, even though it looks bright light to our eyes, it's a lot lower coming through that window. And, by the way, to improve light, you have to wash your windows. So if your window is dirty, that's cutting some light. And also, if you have the screens, you have to make sure that you take screens off because that's blocking some light as well. So
lots of things to think about there, Nancy. Thank you so much for calling, though. I appreciate your call. Man, Diana Alfuth giving some great advice here for Garden Talk. And I know we got some great advice coming from Cheryl Gasser, too, during our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like Garden Talk. This particular show comes on every Friday and replays
Saturday.
On Saturday morning at 6. So your support makes that happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for our program. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. Support Garden Talk and all our shows at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Are we making any progress?
We sure are, Larry. We are looking for 26 more gifts, 26 more people to join in this hour. And we've got about 35 minutes to do it. So plenty of time to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and support the great advice that you get on Garden Talk. And Larry, and thanks to Diana, I now know where that frog in my kitchen came from last year. I had no idea. I had a frog in my kitchen last fall. And it made no sense to me where it came from. It freaked me out. And now I realize it was in that big potted plant that I brought in from the front porch. So thank you, Diana. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Garden Talk. These are the kind of the programs that your gift will support. The programs you enjoy every day. The shows you rely on every day, like Garden Talk.
We are listener powered. And that means that your donation right now makes a big difference. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Now, chances are the idea. Network, the Larry Mueller Show has covered an issue close to you, whether it's gardening like this hour or travel or food or technology. You can count on the Ideas Network for shows that you'll find relevant, interesting, and enjoyable. And because the Ideas Network touches your life, connects you to your community, we're asking you to make a gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And when you make your contribution, we certainly want you to give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month.
Whatever the amount, we will use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source or information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So please give now, whatever amount feels right in support of Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show, all of WPR. Make that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are taking a look at your garden. And by the way, before we go back to talking with Diana, I did want to bring up being a sustainer. Is it probably a good thing to talk about?
That's great, Larry. What does it mean to be a sustainer?
Well, it means that you tell us how much you would like to give each month, and then we take
make
that.
It automatic. You're a sustainer, right,
right,
Larry?
Automatically out of the credit card or out of the bank.
Yep. It's so quick and easy, and you know that you have done your part to keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Diana Althoff, our guest on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. Questions for her, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. And callers online, so let's take some calls. Deb in Plymouth, we'll go to you next. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. I was just going to say how great it is to be a sustainer and how easy it is to just have that automatically deducted every month.
Oh, thank you, Deb.
Yeah, I have some beautiful thyme plants out in my garden, and I'm just wondering if you have any tips for being able to bring those inside and keep them going. I tried once more, one other time unsuccessfully, but I'd like to give it another shot this fall.
What do you think, Diana?
Okay, well, thyme is one of those that a lot of people have trouble with, and I think a big part of why thyme kind of goes downhill once you bring it in is it doesn't like the temperatures and it doesn't like the drier air that we get in winter once the furnaces are on and stuff. So it kind of goes downhill. And it also really does like that bright light. So once you bring it indoors, all plants, once you bring them in, your watering is going to change. So when they're outside, especially in their sun, you're probably watering things every day. But indoors, they're going to dry out less. The less light they have, the less photosynthesis they're doing, which means the less water they're using. So you want to make sure that you don't overwater them. Thyme likes to be a little bit on the dry side, but it doesn't like to get really dry. So if you miss a watering, it's probably not going to forgive you very well. And so then it kind of goes downhill after that. It kind of, you know, the whole system seems to get damaged and that. But again, like we were talking earlier, if you have any ability to do some supplemental lighting, that helps with all of these herbs. They're still going to grow not as thick and bushy as they were outside. What's great now is the LED lights that are available.
Yeah, so, that's so what I have.
Yeah, the incandescent lights that we always used, you know, had in lamps and stuff, they gave off a lot of heat. So you couldn't put it close to the plants without giving them too much heat. Lights indoors, that supplemental light needs to be close to it. So we're talking like if you're trying to grow some thyme indoors, let it be in the sun during the day, you know, sun coming in the window, and then turn on a light as the sun is setting and leave it on for another 6 to 8 hours. So we're talking like 18 hours of light a day minimum for these plants. But that light needs to be about 4 inches above that plant. So if that light is 3 feet above, there's not a lot of lumens hitting that plant. So you need to get that light down close to the plants and leave them on for a good length of time. So set them on a timer so that they, you know, come on and go off even after you've gone off to bed. And try to provide it with as much light as you can. Try to keep the humidity levels decent, and the best way to do that with indoor plants is to group a bunch of them together or set them on a tray that has so that the pots are up on rocks but there's water in between the rocks so that is evaporating up and giving some humidity. And you can usually get thyme to go through at least several months, but it's going to naturally just get kind of more lanky and thin and all
wanna
that.
Want to give up the ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And thyme's time is done after a couple of months, you might say. There we go. Yeah. Deb, thank you. Appreciate it. Connie in Portage, hi.
Yeah, good morning, Larry. I have a question about my poor gardenia plant. I took it to a greenhouse last year. He kept it for me all winter, brought it home, and it looked dead. And then my husband said, no, it's not. And all of a sudden, it sprouted sparsely, little green leaves every so often. And I don't know what to do with it. It's horribly ugly.
Well, I can think of one or two things you could do. Have you got a compost pile, Connie? That's one approach.
You think it'll recover?
Well, Well, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, support your local horticulture industry and buy a new plant. but, you know, that is, the gardenias, they can go like dormant over winter and then come back. But if they've... sometimes there's been damage to the vascular system, to the root system, to the in the stems and that sort of thing. So so they and because they're kind of slow growing plants, they don't recover from that really really easily. So they're kind of tricky. The fact that there's life in there yet means that, well, it should be able to recover at some point, and that would be a case of giving it good conditions. Again, putting it outside during the summer is one of the best things for it because then it's getting the nice bright light, and then, you know, some pruning it back to get it shaping and stuff. But if it's still struggling and at this time of year and there's hardly any leaves on it, I just think that there's probably too much damage in that vascular system. And now going back into winter when it's going to struggle. I mean, you can take it back to the greenhouse. I think that is a wonderful service that these greenhouses offer to overwinter plants and some of these trickier ones, orchids and things like that. I mean, you could try getting it through that cycle again. It's still alive.
But I'm telling you, you look through Larry Mueller's album of photos and you are never going to find Larry standing next to a gardenia plant that looks really healthy in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
This is just the way it is. That's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. And like I said, they can recover pretty nicely outside during the summer. But if it's gone through summer and it's still not looking good.
No, not a good thing, Connie.
I don't know.
There you go. Appreciate the call. Susan and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi.
Hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
We have 8 beautiful rosemary bushes in our garden right now, and we'd really like to be able to winter them in the house. Give us some tips, see if we can keep them going over the winter.
Okay. Rosemary is kind of a woody plant, and they're often you'll see them trained in little topiaries and things as house plants. And they, just like with all the other things that we've been talking about, they like full sun. So when you get them inside, having supplemental lighting is really an important thing. The biggest thing that happens with rosemary inside is it gets spider mites. And they, as soon, spider mites are, you know, they're outside as well as inside, but they love warm, dry conditions. So in winter, once we close things up and the furnace goes on and the you know, humidity in the air gets so dried out from the furnace, spider mites will just explode a lot of times. And there are some plants that they love more than others, but rosemary is one of them.
Yeah.
And rosemary, as I mentioned earlier with the thyme too, it needs to have evenly moist soil, not wet. But if you let it get too dry, it'll just give it up. So it's not real forgiving from drought. But yet, like I say, it doesn't want to be in wet soil. So you have to be really cautious about water. But the biggest thing that I've always seen with rosemary is it gets spider mites, and that they suck the sap out of those little leaves and then the plant dies. So it's doable, but you need to really monitor them. So get them in, you know, containers, get them inside into bright light, and use your finger as your watering guide. When it just gets dry on the surface, about a half inch down, it's time to water, and really, really watch for spider mites.
And thanks for calling, Susan. Lynn in Menominee Falls, your turn. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I have 2 poinsettia plants that we kept from Christmas, and they were looking really bad. I was going to throw them out, and then we stuck them in the garden, and they're growing beautifully. They're in the ground. So my question is there any shot at bringing them in, putting them in a pot, and having them bloom.
There is. There
Slim and none.
There absolutely is. So you have to kind of bring them in, like you say, pot them up. Now, the problem is that you're going to give them some shock when you dig them up because you're going to leave some of the roots behind and stuff. So they're going to be dealing with that, and that's going to make your success a little more chancy than if you had left them in pots all summer. And now we're bringing them in. So you do have to put them in. You bring them in and you have to put them in the dark. That would mean like in a closet or a box over it. You have to withhold water. You have to throw them into some dormancy and then bring them back out of it. I'm not sure on the timing.
Trying to remember how many days of darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a rule.
And because your plants are all nice and lush growing outside, it's going to take them a little bit to go down to down to dormancy or stuff. So we'd have to. There's all kinds of information out there, and it is usually about September to October that you start limiting water. You give them some. What you have to do is give them long nights.
Total darkness.
Right, at night. And they still can have light during the day, but it's because they're considered short day plants, meaning they bloom in response to short daytimes. So that's why you have to like get them in a closet or with a box over it to make the night seem longer and the day seem shorter. And that's what's going to trigger them to blossom again. And they'll also need cooler temperatures at night. So when they're in that darkness, and we're talking down like at 60 degrees or so. So that's why it's so hard to do this indoors, because our houses are usually a little too warm. And because we have lights on in the evening and that sort of thing, that makes the plant think that it's still in some day length. That's why you got to like do a closet or a box over them, that sort of thing. And I will tell you that no matter what you do, you may get them to bloom again, but it is not going to be as big and full as pretty as when you bought those things.
That is exactly right. And, you know, when I think poinsettias, I always go to Cheryl Gasser because she is the poinsettia gal here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And you say 13 to 16 hours of dark per day.
Dark per day, uninterrupted darkness, 13 to 16 hours, complete dark, not like a little bit of light, complete dark, Larry. So
there
it
you
can
go.
Be done. I have hope. I think this plant can be saved.
This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, which is why Cheryl has joined us here in the studio. Your support, hey, it's essential. For funding all the programs you enjoy, including Garden Talk. I hope you'll take some time right now. Make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, look at this. We've got 19 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 19 more people to join in to help us reach this hourly goal. You can join Carol in Clayton, Yvonne in Middleton, Barbara in Appleton. The list goes on, and we want you on that list. You can make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day, programs like Garden Talk.
All you have to do in this listener-powered station and network that we have is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
Now, I am loving this hour, Larry. I've learned so much about caring for my houseplants all year long. This is the kind of great advice that you get on Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show and all of WPR. And like Larry said, WPR, we are listener-supported. We can't do it without you. And when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Maybe it's $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. And then make that gift.
And you can think about what you spend money on every day and kind of go that way. If coffee or lunch out, that kind of adds up over time. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
And WPR is part of your routine, too. If it's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn, you can spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
John's got the right idea. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation. Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. I don't care if your gift is $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Garden Talk is part of your routine. And now we're asking you to make the decision to support WPR financially. Make that part of your routine as well. It really is as simple as that. You listen and you support. We are listener-supported radio, and that means your support at any amount is crucial to our success. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Larry, how are we working on our goal?
Well, we have 17 minutes left for this hour, and we still need 16 more people to join in. So
a member a minute.
Member a minute. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you into a drawing for tickets to Hamilton in Chicago. Give now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. Easy to set up those monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you will be providing ongoing support for the programs you love, and you get automatically entered in all those drawings.
That's such a great perk to being a sustainer, in addition to knowing that you are doing your part to keep public radio going strong. Like Carol in Clayton made a pledge this member drive and says, "Thank you for being my place to hear current news, and I enjoy shows about gardening, travel, and the entertaining weekend shows as well." Well, Carol, thank you so much. And we hear that so often from listeners, Larry.
Yeah, we do.
They love the news, the music, the conversation, the entertainment, the information. They're eclectic, and so are we. On the Larry Mueller Show, we try to bring it all to you, and you can make your pledge of support. It will make a difference.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Diana Alfuth, the UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Pierce County. Great to have her with us. Thank you for listening in. Lots of callers online, so I think we'll just go right back to the phones because there are a lot of good questions I'm seeing on my screen anyway. Peggy in Tigerton, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, Larry and Diana. I have a beautiful eucalyptus plant that, and I've grown them many times in the summer as part of a pot arrangement, you know, the silver leaves, and they start out pretty small, like about 12 inches. Well, this year, it's really a big plant. It's grown up to be maybe 3 feet tall, and not the round leaves, but the oval leaves. It's not a tree, really, but I would just like to give it a shot and wonder, what are my chances of bringing that plant in, especially if I had grow lights or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
You know, I like to try anything. So
yeah.
I think your chances are, take a chance. Really, there is a good chance for it, and you might need to prune it back a little bit in order to get it you know, manageable and able to not take over your house or anything like that. But they can make beautiful indoor trees, especially, like you say, if you can add a little bit extra extra light. They are an evergreen tree, basically. So if you can give them the light, again, watch them for proper watering. Don't let them get too dry or too and don't overwater it so that you don't drown the roots and stuff. But I don't know about any pests that they're susceptible to because not a lot of people grow them inside.
No.
But they are definitely, you have a chance, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they do like full sun to thrive. So, again, that is the most limiting factor. And the other thing that I want to make sure to mention is as these plants are coming indoors and they're dealing with the lower light, they're not, don't expect them to be putting on growth during December and January and February. If they're just sitting there and still alive, you're successful. So don't expect that they're going to be getting large or anything. And for that reason, because of the lower light conditions and that lack of growth, they do not need fertilizer. So when you bring them in, a lot of times it's the instinct is to, oh, it's we should give them a shot of fertilizer. Wait until about February when the days start getting longer and the plants start thinking about growth. That's when they would need the fertilizer. So we never want to fertilize a stress plant or one that's basically sitting there dormant. It needs a fertilizer when it's actively growing. So I say give it a shot.
Yeah, me too. Why not?
Yeah, you have nothing to lose.
There you go, Peggy. Thank you. Stephanie and Baldwin, your turn.
Hi, I just had a quick question when it came to gardening.
Yeah.
Yeah, how far do you recommend planting fish carcasses and, like, scraps from food if you want to restore nutrients and kind of aerate the soil and bring the bugs?
So you're saying, like, putting it in the soil to decompose and...
Just, like, burying it?
Yeah.
As a fertilizer. So, So usually we recommend that, like with food scraps and things like that, that you compost it first before you bury it directly in the soil. And part of that, too, is because as things decompose, the microbes that are decomposing that, their population will explode because there's a food source there, but they also can take nitrogen out of the soil, and they'll be better at taking nitrogen out of the soil than your plants are. So you have to be careful that you don't cause nitrogen deficiency in your plants because of those decomposing fresh products in there. As far as fish goes, we usually don't want you to put animal or fats or meats or anything like that on a compost pile because that's a whole different set of microbes and that's what can stink and bring in skunks and raccoons and all that sort of a thing. But if you think about, like, if you were to put a fish carcass in your vegetable garden when you plant and burying it down there, those, as that fish decomposes, those nutrients are going to stay relatively in that area. They're likely to go down, but they don't spread outward that much because there's no water. Water will take things downward, but it doesn't necessarily take it out sideways. So that's just a rule of thumb to think about when you put something in the soil. The nutrients as that decomposes are more likely going to go down. It'll spread out a little bit, but how far it goes out will depend on a few things like any kind of slope, what type of soil you have, and that sort of thing. And that's why it's really nicer if you can compost that stuff first and then spread it evenly throughout your garden.
There you go, Stephanie. Or if you were going to put some fish, you'd want the plants to go right over the top of the fish, wouldn't you?
Right, but you have to be careful, too, that remember where the root zone of those plants are. So if you bury the fish a foot and a half deep, plant roots don't go down that deep.
No.
So, and then you have to be a little cautious, too, that if those roots are growing right up against that thing as it's decomposing, again, that's where microbes are going to be working on two different things there. So, you know, my grandparents used to live on the Tomorrow River and they would do their fish scraps and stuff and put them in the garden. But it was more of a thing that they would put them in like in the fall so that it would all be decomposed by planting time in the spring.
Yeah, there you go, Stephanie. Thank you so much for calling. Kathy in Appleton, hi.
Good morning. I have a hot lip salvia plant in a container. And can that be wintered over?
Maybe. So, the salvia hot lips is actually a perennial versus some of the annual salvias. And annual plants, they're going to live a year and they're going to die no matter what the conditions are. It's not just frost that kills them. But hot lips is actually hardy in zone 7 to 10. So, yes, you can overwinter it just like we can geraniums and things like that. Again, it likes full sun. So once you bring it in, it's probably not going to be doing a whole lot of blooming unless you have some really good intense grow lights in there. And by the time spring comes along, it might be kind of lanky. It might be kind of and then you can kind of prune it back and get it back outside. And you might very well be able to make that happen.
So there you go, Kathy. Good luck with that. Salvia, appreciate it very much. Diana Alfoth, our guest today here for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. And Cheryl Gasser joins us as well for our Fall Member Drive, your support foundation for all our programs. And it's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great talks. And Cheryl's with me to encourage you to make a gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we're closing in on the end of the hour here.
The end of the hour and our goal, Larry. We're looking for 35 pledges this hour. We need 11 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. 11 more people to join in support of Garden Talk and everything you hear on the Ideas Network. So if you've already given, thank you so much.
If you haven't given, you should give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs like this one that you so enjoy.
You enjoy Garden Talk. You make it part of your week. You learn so much from Larry and his guests today, like Diana. Think of everything you've learned in a single week of Garden Talk and then multiply that by 52. Think of the time and the money that Larry has saved you. Think of everything that you've learned and then realize that WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give, you make this hour and many more hours possible, and we know you want to do that, so make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you simply choose an amount that works for you. Maybe it's $5 a month, maybe it's $500. Take a few minutes and make that gift.
And you can ask for your next piece of WPR gear. We have a new tote. It's really kind of cool.
Handsome. Colorful.
I like it. Yeah, it's natural cotton, stylish geometric design, perfect for groceries. You can carry your gardening gear in and out of the garden if you want to. You can do all kinds of things with it.
It's endless.
Support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride wherever you go. It starts with your gift, $10 a month or more, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And let me repeat that. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser, your support to Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month, $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we always ask you to give the amount that's right for you here at WPR. And if it's helpful, here's a formula. You can look at it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard on WPR. Now, if you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, then give a gift of $10 a month right now. You can pick up that handsome WPR tote bag. You can see the tote bag and our other thank you gifts when you go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
I have a friend who's a sustaining member, and she said, you know what, I added to my monthly contribution to WPR. And I said, well, good for you. And
great
if you,
idea.
Yeah, and if you are a sustainer, you can do the same thing. Consider making an extra gift, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
We heard from Mary in Green Bay, Ann in Verona, Scott in Madison. No matter where you are in the state of Wisconsin or beyond, we would love to hear from you because we are looking for 10 more people to support the WPR programs in the next couple of minutes, and then we will meet our goal. WPR, we're listener-powered, and that's why your gift right now is so important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Special day today. You can take your WPR pride with you wherever you go when you get that travel bundle as your thank you gift. It includes both the tote and the WPR travel mug, and it's available today only at $20 a month. $5, which is $5 a month savings or something like that. I don't know.
So you can give now and support your favorite programs. Ask for your WPR travel bundle. When you give $25 a month, you get both the tote bag and the mug. You can see those online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We thank you for your contributions. If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. If you haven't given yet, do it right now. Help us meet our goal. WPR.org. Go there and make your contribution. We'll be back. Welcome to Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Diana Offuth, the UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Pierce County. She also teaches landscape design at UW River Falls. Gardening questions for her, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Diana, we had an email from Maddie who has a citronella plant, been growing outside this summer, doing well. Could she bring it in for during winter? And do you have any tips if it's possible?
Yeah, it's just similar to the other ones that we've talked about. It can make it through winter indoors, but it may get lanky and small leaves and not necessarily be attractive.
Yeah.
But then if you can at least just limp it through and get it through the winter, then you can put it back outside in summer. In spring, you might need to prune it back a little bit to encourage some new growth. Give it a shot of fertilizer then and have it outside again. So it can make it through. Like I said, you don't normally grow citronella that much for its looks anyway.
No. For its supposed effect on mosquitoes, I think.
Yeah. And not that it doesn't, have some attractive qualities and stuff, especially if you kind of keep it pinched back and get it, kind of looking nice and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can limp it through.
All right. I should mention, by the way, before we go any further, that we have a $2,500 challenge grant during this last half hour of the show from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. They'll match every gift up to $2,500. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about making your contribution to WPR.
And also, Larry, people need to remember that winter's going to be upon us soon. And when there's that first blizzard blowing, you can go on WPR's website and listen to archives of all of your garden talk shows and think summer. And that's a really good resource, too. And I know a lot of the master gardeners do that. And everybody should think about spring and summer and plan for the next growing season. So that's a great resource as well.
I like how you think. I like how you think. Let's go to Cameron.
Send in a contribution to help with that.
Cameron and Madison, your turn. Hi.
Hi there, Larry. Hi. Got a quick question for you guys. And this is sort of reference to the bugs in the pots that we talked about at the beginning of the show that you talked about.
Yeah.
And mine's more specific to a product I'm using. Normally, I start my overwintering process a little early, and I use like a systemic insect control, but I use the granular type, so I'm watering it down into the soil. This is something I do over time, gradually before I bring them in for insect control. And my question is, this year I'm a little late on doing this. It is getting colder at night. So I got the same company puts out a liquid, mix it in 2 quarts of water control. And my question for your guest was how quickly would the liquid work as far as it just kind of agitating those bugs that are crawlers that are underneath that soil that are going to kind of get them out maybe in the next couple days or so? Or I'm not quite sure what your caller would recommend.
Okay.
I mean, your guest, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Cameron. So what do you think, Diana?
Yeah, the liquid will work a little faster than a granular because basically that granular stuff needs to dissolve. And so if you put that on, it will take some effect within a few days. You know, the question is just what insects it is that you're trying to control or affect and whether or not, you know, a systemic is appropriate in the first place. But within a few days, that's going to be in the soil, and it's also going to be starting to be taken up by those plants. So it'll work a little bit faster than the granular that you've used in the past.
Thank you very much for calling, Cameron. I think it's going to be pretty quick working. Kristen in Marquette, Michigan, your turn. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got some raspberry bushes and blueberry bushes that I think would work better in different locations, but I don't know if it's okay to transplant them now or if I should wait until spring.
Where do you live?
Marquette, Michigan.
Oh, up.
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 Yes. Way up.
Way up.
Okay. Well, that makes a difference because typically, you know, fall is a good time to transplant things, but raspberries and blueberries are probably going to be better if you wait until spring because we are starting to get a little late in the season. We know the weather can change quickly. And normally with transplanting, we want at least a month of decent soil temperatures yet so that those plants can grow a little roots underground and get rehydrated before winter comes. And we're starting to get on that edge, especially for up there. So I think I would just probably wait until spring for that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's for Marquette, Michigan. That's pretty far north. Thank you very much, Kristen, for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, Sharon had called earlier and wasn't able to stay on. She has a poinsettia that hasn't bloomed in 7 years and wonders if she used this light technique, if she could actually get it to bloom.
I'm sorry, it was what kind of plant?
A poinsettia.
A poinsettia. Oh, yeah. The plant genetically is the same as it always was. So if you give it those long dark nights, and you know withhold water a little bit, you can get it to bloom. And you can get it to bloom any time of year. Obviously, we usually want them blooming during the winter time. But you can manipulate those plants, and it's that short day, long night thing that triggers that plant to form flower buds. So theoretically, yes, you can get it to work.
Why not? Give it a shot. if you had it for 7 years and it hasn't bloomed, you might as well keep it another year and give it a try.
And that's exactly it. If they don't get that light manipulation, they won't bloom. But if the plant is otherwise healthy, there's no reason you can't trick it.
I know. And there's so many days in a row that you have to do it. And if you screw up one day and let light in, you've got to start all over on the sequence.
That's exactly right. If all of a sudden, you know, it's in that regimen and you've got it in a closet or a cardboard box over it during its light period and you just want to show someone and you shine a flashlight on it, start all over.
Or somebody comes in and says, "What's under this box?" and picks it up and goes, "Oh."
Yeah, it can be that much. And it's interesting in the nursery industry, too, getting things like Easter lilies to bloom at Easter or mums to bloom for Mother's Day and all that. They are manipulating the light conditions and the day length and the temperatures and everything to get those plants to bloom at what is not their natural time to bloom. So it can be pretty tricky.
Bob and Krivitz, on to you now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Okay. I bought milkweed plants through Prairie Nursery,
okay.
Listening to one of your programs. Okay. And they're about 5 foot tall. And I'm wondering, okay, because I like to start another area. When would I pick those pods, or do I just leave them on for the winter? Because I like to start out in another area.
So you want to
take those
plant
pods.
Get the seeds and plant some new plants?
Yes, I'd like to. When do I do that? In spring or at this time of year?
Well, I would get them at this time of year. As soon as they look like those plants are shutting down and those pods are kind of turning brown and stuff, because what will happen is those pods will split open and those seeds will all blow away. And if you wait till spring, there probably won't be the seeds left. So so I would make sure that those pods are starting to get dry and then collect them now and then hold on to them, but don't plant them till spring. And I'd have to look up to see what milkweeds need from a stratification, which means cold treatment. So in those seeds in nature, they would go through cold treatment. And if you just bring them in your house in the warmth and then they don't get that cold, they won't germinate. I'm not sure what milkweeds' requirements are that way. But you can easily give them that treatment either by putting them like in a tin box and leaving them outside in the winter, and you put them in the tin box so that mice and things don't get in there and eat the seeds, or by putting them in your refrigerator over the winter, and they'll need a certain number of weeks of that cold in order for them to germinate next spring. So then you can plant them in spring as soon as the snow is gone and the soil is exposed and grow baby milkweeds.
There you go. Martha emailed. She has two lovely clematis or clematis vines, but she has no idea if they grow on old wood or new wood. How should she go about trimming back these vines? They look kind of ratty right now and have these circular things where the blossoms were. Please advise.
Yeah, those circular things are the seed heads, and those are kind of cool in themselves. There are different kinds of clematis that, like as you say, bloom on new wood, old wood, that sort of a thing. My advice, when you don't know what variety of clematis you have, my advice is always to kind of leave the majority of it over winter. And then in spring, when new growth starts, prune away everything that's not growing or that's obviously dead, because you never know where those shoots are going to come up. Part of it will depend on what kind of clematis you have. Part of it will depend on how bad the winter is. And that way you're not pruning away anything that you shouldn't. Now, if it really bugs you having that dead vine there, go ahead and prune like the top half of it off so that it's not ugly for you, but don't prune it all the way down and back, because again, that might be compromising what you're going to get for new growth next year.
Yeah.
So again, you know, if you don't know what kind you have, and then kind of pay attention to where the growth starts, if it starts all at the very base or if it starts farther up those stems in spring, and then kind of watch where those blooms form so that you can know in the future what you have.
Somebody else was wondering about cuttings, you know, taking some cuttings instead of a whole plant or in addition to the whole plant and starting cuttings. Does that make sense? And how do you root those?
Of clematis?
Of anything.
Okay. So every plant, taking cuttings is definitely a good way to do some propagation, but some plants do it better than others. And some plants need to do it on like new wood or new growth versus one-year-old wood, one-year-old growth, that sort of a thing. Some you can, you know, like house plants, you can take a cutting off, stick it in a glass of water, and it roots. Others you need to use a rooting hormone to dip that stem in and then put it in like some moist sand or something like that to get them to grow. So it depends on what plant it is that you want to do. A lot of them you can take cuttings off of, but you have to do it at the right time of the year, the right wood or the right tissue, and then some of them you might need a rooting hormone on it. So it's not a universal one-size-fits-all thing. But fortunately, you know, whatever plant it is that you're looking for, it's usually pretty easy to do a search and find out that information for the right time.
The big question for you, have you got your plants indoors, the ones you want to bring in?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No. So I have an overhanging.
I haven't either.
I have an overhanging porch that, you know, gives them a little more protection and stuff. But based on the inspiration of Limey and you and I talking about Limey all these years, I have a little tangerine orange tree kind of a thing. And she's been out on the porch all summer and really flourished because I had spider mite problems on her over the winter and that kind of set her back. But she's really recovered. My biggest problem is every time the wind is blown, she's tipped over. And so I kind of need to get a little more potting soil back in that pot and start bringing her in. And also my amaryllis, which have been out there basking in the sun. They should have been in and started the process already by now if I wanted blooms by the holidays. So I'll have blooms in February again, which in some ways is even nicer.
Well, just get the heck of going there.
I know. You too.
Yeah, thanks, Diana.
You too.
Diana Offuth, our guest today. She is UW Extension horticulture educator for Pierce County and teaches classes in landscape design at UW River Falls. It's always fun to have her come by. Always fun to have Cheryl Gasser come by during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for great discussions like the one we just had. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
We do. Listener support. It is the largest source of funding for programs at WPR. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference. And you can make that pledge and become a member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 28 out of 35. So we didn't quite get to 35.
That's
our
okay.
Goal. We have a goal this time, though,
yeah,
of 20. And we still have 13 to go, but I think we can do that with your help.
A little extra incentive this hour as well, Larry, right?
Yeah, it was met already. We had a $2,500 goal, and I mentioned it right as we came out of our news break. And
there we go. Listeners love
like
you.
That,
they love Garden Talk. Thank you, Master Gardeners Association.
Thank you very much. But I tell you what, we still have a goal this hour of 12 more contributions in support of Garden Talk and all the other programs you have come to enjoy. So make a contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You can join Marcia from Green Bay, who says, I listen every day, and I've been a sustainer and chose to increase my gift because I believe in the mission of public radio. Marcia, thank you so much. Maybe it's time for you to make an additional gift to Wisconsin Public Radio or increase your monthly amount. Whatever the case, we'd love to hear from you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're all about connections here at the Ideas Network. You connect with news and information from around Wisconsin. You connect with guests and other listeners near and far away.
And these connections can happen because members step up to fund them. You make these conversations possible. The Ideas Network, here we are, listener-supported radio. We're people-powered. And that's where you come in. Make everything you value on the Ideas Network possible. when you give. Garden talk, the news, the conversations, the chapter a day stories. You make it possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Love to be able to send you to Hamilton in Chicago, including dinner and an overnight stay. This member drive, we have a drawing for tickets for that, and no contribution is necessary. You can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, if you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can join Doug in Bloomington, who says Garden Talk is an awesome program, always something interesting, and Larry is an excellent host. Doug, we all agree
thanks,
with you.
Doug.
Larry is an excellent host, and this is such a great show. And Garden Talk is an example of how every time you listen to WPR, you learn something new. Whether it's about gardening or the news of the day or a personal anecdote, there's always something to spark your interest.
Listening to WPR reminds you that life is fascinating, learning makes fun, is fun, and it makes your life richer. That engagement you feel when you listen, I think that's worth your support. I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we're looking for 12 more members. And we'd love you to be one of them. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or maybe a friend recommended the great conversations about gardening with Larry on Garden Talk or the weekend programs or the high-quality news, you tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, I hope you'll help pay for your WPR listening. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. So you could become our next donor at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. You can go to WPR.org, or if you want to, you can phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Listeners support the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support is so important. And whether your gift is $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It absolutely is. We are listener supported here at WPR, and it's your gift that makes the Ideas Network possible. So give today in any amount. Your gift of any amount really will make a difference. It will make you a member of the WPR community in a new way, in a meaningful way. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us reach our goal of 10 more members.
I think everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Now, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every single day, and we're asking you to put a value on it, like other things that are important to you. So make that gift in any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yesterday, somebody said they made a contribution because their friend at work told them that they had made a contribution.
And I thought love that idea.
Yeah, that's great. After you made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling friends or family or coworkers.
That's great. So whether you use social media or you call them up or you mention them the next time you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. Get it, Larry? Plant the idea here on Garden Talk. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and then let your family and friends know how good it feels to support the station that you enjoy every day.
We're going to have to go away here in just a few seconds, but I want to thank you very much if you've contributed. If you haven't, what a great time to put in a vote for Garden Talk. We have 9 more contributions to reach our goal this half hour. If you haven't given yet, now would be a wonderful time to do it. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution and support the programs you've come to love. I'm Larry Mehler for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network.